Now more with Frank Gaffney.
It is a great pleasure to welcome back to these microphones our friend and colleague, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. He is one of the most prolific and incredibly influential thinkers, writers, analysts, policymakers, really, in a sense now, with respect to this problem that he has done so much to help the rest of us understand of electromagnetic pulse, or EMP, and the incredible vulnerability of our electric grid and therefore of our country to it should an enemy of this country or perhaps Mother Nature unleash this devastating effect on our grid and on all of us who depend upon it. Dr. Pry, it is so good to have you back. You are, of course, the executive director of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security, as well as a member of the staff, I guess the staff director of the U.S. Congressional EMP Commission, so much more. It's terrific to be able to pick your brains on a topic, particularly that you've done so much to help elevate as a public policy problem, namely the threat, perhaps, of EMP, among other things, out of North Korea. So welcome back. So good to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Frank, especially at this crucial time when we face an imminent threat from North Korea, from its ballistic missile launches, and threats that have come out of Kim Jong-un's mouth now that are all but very tantamount to threatening an EMP attack against the United States when he has talked about turning our country into ashes by means of nuclear thunderbolts and launching another satellite, okay, to compensate, to punish us for the military and diplomatic initiatives we're taking against North Korea. I mean, that alone should raise people a question in people's minds. How is launching a satellite an appropriate military response? Aren't their satellite programs supposed to be a peaceful program?
Yeah. Well, tease that out for us, Peter Pry, because I think many of us may think that satellites are, at worst, something that might be collecting intelligence against us from the high frontier, as it's called. Why do you think there may be something more, certainly far more threatening, involved?
Well, the commission has been trying to get this in front of the mainstream media to educate people and educate policymakers on it too, because they think that the only threat from North Korea, we're being told, even by this administration that we admire and respect, you know, that the North Korean threat to the United States mainland is not here yet, because they need to develop a reentry vehicle and accurate guidance systems on their missiles to blast the city. And the EMP Commission has been warning that no, we face an existential threat from North Korea right now because of the satellite program. They've got these two satellites, the KMS-3 and KMS-4, orbiting over the United States. They're on a trajectory that is the identical trajectory to the trajectory that a Soviet-era secret weapon called the Fractional Orbital Bombardment System used to follow. It's on a south polar trajectory. It swings over the Antarctica and it comes up at the United States from the south. You know, we have no ballistic missile early warning radars and no national missile defenses facing south. You know, the successful test against a simulated ICBM over the Pacific yesterday wouldn't have worked if that ICBM, if it had been a satellite coming up from the south. And it's at the right altitude, if there's a nuclear weapon on those satellites, you know, to put an EMP field over all 48 contiguous United States, which would destroy the electric grid, cause massive damage of electronics, but the worst thing would be collapsing that electric grid. You know, it would cause a protracted blackout that could kill millions of Americans from starvation, disease, and societal collapse in a year, and literally make true Kim Jong-un's threats to turn our country into ashes. You know, he could potentially do that if he's got nukes on those satellites. Personally, I'm concerned that there's a very good chance that those satellites are nuclear armed, because Kim Jong-un is such a risk taker.
You're talking about satellites having the perfect altitude to put down with a single blast a devastating field across the 48 contiguous states. If that blast is something that has been generated by a device that you have described is perhaps in the North Koreans' hands, namely a super EMP weapon. How intense would the pulses be, and how difficult would it be to survive the grid and everything that depends upon it against them?
Well, we're concerned, not just me, but the EMP Commission, you know, has been concerned since 2004 that North Korea has probably got super EMP weapons, you know, because we were demarched in 2004 by two Russian generals who were their top EMP experts, who warned us that design information for their super EMP weapon had leaked, so supposedly accidentally, to North Korea, and that also accidentally Russian nuclear weapon and missile engineers were in North Korea helping them with their program because of brain drain, because North Korea is paying them a lot of money. And also, by the way, they mentioned the Chinese and Pakistani scientists are also in North Korea helping them with their nuclear and missile programs. And they predicted that in a couple of years, North Korea could actually test one of these super EMP weapons because they're not that hard to build. They're a 1950s era design that we deployed, you know, 30 years ago in the 1980s, you know, in the form of a, it wasn't exactly a super EMP, it was called a enhanced radiation weapon designed to put out neutrons. You know, it was the neutron bomb. But that design also puts out intense fields of gamma rays, which is what causes the EMP effect. And if you take that design and tweak it a little bit, you get a super EMP weapon. So it's not that sophisticated design, not that hard to do. It's something the North Koreans would be able to do, especially if they had help from the Russians and Chinese. And then a couple of years after they made that prediction, it came true. And they actually did their first nuclear test in 2006. And lo and behold, it was declared a failure by most of the world because it had this very low yield. But the super EMP weapon is not designed to put out a big explosion. It's designed to put out gamma rays, which is what creates the EMP effect. And whatever that design was, they were happy with it because they started weaponizing it and putting it on missiles.
And perhaps on satellites. As you have done this work, Peter, I'm very happy to say you have, I think, begun engendering a serious debate about what the North Koreans are up to and how dangerous the threat is to us. I noted just yesterday the co-chairman of the Secure the Grid Coalition, which we're very pleased to have you as an important member of, published a piece at Fox News about this threat. He's getting, as are you, however, pushback from others, including a group called 38 North and a self-styled expert by the name of Jeffrey Lewis at Middlebury. Talk a little bit about the state of this debate, Peter, and how important it is that we have it be fact-based and where the facts are leading us.
Yes, it's really appalling that there's any pushback at all. And you're so correct to characterize Jeffrey Lewis as a self-styled expert. And Mark Liu as well, who has been engaged in pushback on this, has never worked professionally in EMP or even in for the Department of Defense or intelligence community or any contractor, you know, on EMP issues or nuclear missiles and strategy, which is where real expertise comes from in this area. He's basically a highly opinionated academic who has degrees in philosophy and political science. And he is challenging the opinion of the whole EMP Commission, which is chaired by Dr. William Graham, who had been President Reagan's science advisor and is probably the free world's foremost expert on EMP. Graham was on the defense science team that actually discovered the EMP phenomena back in 1963. Lewis knows so little about EMP, and so does Mark Liu, that they, in one of their articles, they wondered why EMP from our nuclear tests in Nevada didn't black out Las Vegas, if EMP is a real phenomenon, which means they don't understand the most fundamental thing about that the detonation has to happen above the atmosphere, and that underground tests or atmospheric tests are not going to create the high-altitude EMP. That is equivalent to somebody telling you that they're an expert in brain surgery, but they don't know the brain is located in your skull.
Yeah. Peter Pry, there's so much more to talk with you about in all of this, and I look forward to doing so in the near future. I really am profoundly grateful to you for the leadership you have been exhibiting in all of these areas. Peter, I know you'll keep up that great work and that you'll come back to us again very soon.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.